We lived in Hornsby, and I was working as a gardener at the time. And as a gardener, I needed a truck, and I had a little truck that we called Piggy. And the problem with Piggy was, being a truck, they have these big mirrors that stick out the sides, and from time to time, you'd forget just how far they stuck out, and you'd smash a mirror on something. So sure enough, I broke a couple of mirrors, but it was okay because just across the street from where we lived, there was a glass supplies shop. So I would trundle across the road, I'd take my good mirror in my hand, and I'd get them to cut me a new piece of glass to replace it. But the last time that I broke a mirror, I thought, this is great, I'll just head across the road, I'll get a new mirror cut. So I trundled over the road, but as I got close to the warehouse, I was surprised to see that the roller door was shut, which was unusual. It was usually open. I'd never seen it shut before. But as I got closer, I could see that there was a small door that was still open. And even though it was dark inside, I figured there must be someone around. I'll go and have a look, see if someone can help me. So I stepped inside, mirror in hand, and it was very dark. The lights were off. And so as my eyes adjusted to the dim light, I suddenly began to make out what was around me. You can only imagine the shock I found to realize I was no longer standing inside a glass supplies place, but an adult party shop. Let the reader understand. I was there for a glass, but I discovered that I was in the wrong place, because what I was looking for was not there anymore. That was a bit of a shock, but it doesn't come close to the shock that these women would have had when they arrived at Jesus' tomb on that Sunday morning. Now just imagine what it would have been like for these women that Luke speaks about. Not even 48 hours has passed since they had watched Jesus die. The one that they had loved more deeply even than a husband. The one who they believed was Lord and God's promised Saviour, the Rescuer. These women had looked on as Jesus breathed his last, as the soldier had pierced his side with a spear and the blood and water flowed out of his lifeless body. And they'd watched as Joseph had taken his body down, had wrapped the body in linen and laid it in the tomb. Well, seeing as the following day was the Sabbath and they had to rest, they had to wait till Sunday morning until they could return to the tomb and they could properly anoint the body for burial. And so they trundled off early in the morning, mixed spices in hand, and as they approached the tomb, they noticed something unusual. The entrance was open. And so they came to the opening and stepped inside, and as their eyes adjusted to the dim light, they were shocked to find that Jesus' body was no longer there. Now, as shocking as that would have been, it wasn't the biggest shock they got that morning, was it? For while they were standing there wondering about it, out of nowhere come these two angels with clothes like lightning. And they fell down, we read in verse 5, in fear. But the appearance of the angels wasn't the biggest shock, for it was what the angels had to say that really was the biggest shock of the day. Have a look with me at verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Now, the angels, of course, knew the answer to this question, why they were looking for Jesus here, because they weren't looking for the living, were they? They were looking for someone who was dead. They came to the tomb where Jesus had been laid because they were looking for Jesus' corpse. But what they were expecting to find was no longer there. In essence, what the angels were saying is, you are in the wrong place. You are looking in the wrong place because Jesus is no longer dead. He is alive. And what's more, the angel said that actually this shouldn't have been so much of a shock to them. The angel rebuked them and said, actually, you should have known this. He is not here, he has risen, they said. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. That's funny, isn't it? Jesus. You think about these women, right? These women are devoted followers of Jesus. They've hung their life on his very words. And yet here, where Jesus had told them in the clearest terms imaginable, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, but then after 3 days, I'll rise again. It wasn't a problem of clarity that had made them miss the point and miss the resurrection. It was that they had failed to remember. Now, how could that be? I think it's easy for us to think, well, how could they forget it? That's a really big thing that Jesus says. I'm going to die, I'm going to rise. You'd think that they'd kind of file that one away. But I think the problem was that the resurrection is such a shock. It's such an incredible thing. It's so hard to believe that they probably heard it but just couldn't comprehend it. They probably wrote it off as just one of those crazy things that Jesus said that they didn't really understand. But it wasn't just the women who had forgotten what Jesus said. We see straight after that they run off and they tell the 11, the other disciples, those who had given up their livelihood, left their families and their homes and had followed Jesus for 3 years. And when they come to them, they told them what happened. Yet the disciples respond just the same way. They did not believe the women, verse 11, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. I don't know what you think about that, but I am actually kind of relieved that the women and the disciples felt like this. I think if they didn't feel like this, I would find it myself much harder to believe the resurrection. I think if they just swallowed the resurrection, of course Jesus is alive, I think I'd be a little bit suspect. But I think that actually their skepticism here is actually helpful for us. Because when we see their disbelief here at this point, it makes their belief at a later point all the more astonishing and convincing. Well, we see actually more of their skepticism as we work on. Because the whole rest of Luke's gospel tells us just how hard it was for the disciples, these skeptics, to believe that Jesus had in fact risen back to life. Not only did they not believe what the women had to say about the angels' reports, but actually, if we read on from verse 13, we see that very same afternoon, two of the 11, met Jesus face to face. And even when they came back to the rest of the disciples and said, hang on, it's true, we've seen him. He walked with us and he talked with us and he broke bread just like he did the other night. Even then, they didn't believe. And if that wasn't enough, actually, if we keep skipping down, we turn the page, we get to verse 36, they're still talking about this interaction with the risen Lord Jesus and these two disciples. And they're talking about it, verse 36. And while they're talking about it, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Well, did they believe that then? Well, no, not straight away. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus said, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? So even when Jesus himself appeared, they found it so hard to believe in the resurrection, that it wasn't until Jesus chomped down some salmon, munched on some flathead, got them to stick their hands in the holes in his side, that they would truly believe that this was indeed Jesus alive. And so what do we see here in the disciples? What do we see here? We don't see what's often accused of them. We don't see that they're kind of this, they were desperate for sure, but we don't see a people who are just desperate to believe anything after Jesus died. It's not like they just, someone said, oh, Jesus is alive, and they just sort of like jumped on it without thinking about it. Actually, this is a picture of a people who had totally given up hope. A people who were so utterly skeptical, but whose experience, whose encounters with the risen Jesus were so convincing that they were transformed from devastated, cold-hard skeptics into life-sacrificing saints overflowing with joy. Indeed, we see here that Jesus is no longer dead. He is not here. He is risen. He is alive. Well, the women were looking in the wrong place for Jesus. And that's still the case today. I don't know, I don't watch much TV these days, but I know that around this time of year, around Christmas every year, you see the kind of shows pop up advertised on TV. They're these kind of revealing programs. They kind of, this conspiracy that, you know, there's some conspiracy that Jesus didn't really rise, all these kind of things. I remember my favourite one, it was a few years back, and they had revealed that some researchers and scientists or whatever had found Jesus' body and they could prove it with DNA evidence. Now, if you think about that for a second, you realise just how ridiculous that is to try and prove anything with DNA evidence. But though I kind of laugh at these shows, it's actually a bit of a sad kind of laugh. Because what it means is that people are still today looking for a dead Jesus. They're looking in the wrong place. They're looking to find a dead revolutionary, a dead teacher, when indeed they should be looking for a living Lord. And you know, today, people are still not remembering or taking Jesus' words seriously. People still take no notice of the fact that Jesus was able to speak about his future. He was able to predict his death and resurrection. And people still today refuse to look into the scriptures and see how they point to Jesus. As Jesus spoke to the disciples, he kept saying, we see in verse 46, this is what is written. Are you so slow to understand what the scriptures say? And people still refuse to look into the Bible to find out what it says about Jesus and his resurrection. And though people look in the wrong place, that's not the end of the story, because today, even in our suburb, in our city, in our country, and even in the world, people today in the millions are still finding the risen Lord Jesus. People today in the millions are still coming to learn and know that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, but is alive. Well, if you want to see that video again, you can jump on our St. John's Facebook page. And if you're after sort of any more things you want to dig in regards to the resurrection and sort of evidence, just ask me or ask Brian and we can help you out. But Jesus is a risen Lord. And I just want to touch on tonight just three big implications of the fact that Jesus is risen. I want to touch on three implications of the fact that Jesus is alive. The first one is that Jesus is God. The resurrection means that Jesus is God. Well, as that video said, people don't rise. Humans can't defeat death. We can't bring ourselves out of the grave once we're dead. We can't do anything once we get to our graves. But Jesus is no ordinary man. For Jesus is God himself. He raised himself up, showing that his life was not able to be extinguished. And so Jesus doesn't just prove that God exists, but he shows that he, as God, as the Creator, came into our world. He took on our humanity so that he could give himself up for us. And this means that he who has returned to heaven is still reigning. Jesus is God. Secondly, we see in the resurrection that Jesus is forgiveness. Now, Jesus had said before he died that he was dying to take the penalty for our sin. He was dying to deal with death and destroy the death that our sin deserves so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. But had Jesus simply died and not risen, how would we know that his death had done anything? And more than that, if he had never risen, how could he have defeated death if he stayed dead? No, Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, but then by rising to life, showed that he had actually paid the price in full, and it was finished. He showed that he had defeated death, that death had no hold on him, but he had hold on the keys to death. And what this means for us, if we've trusted in Jesus, he has finished the deal. There is full forgiveness. And so we can never out-sin his sacrifice. I think sometimes Christians feel like we can kind of sin so much that no longer can his sacrifice cover our sins. But since Jesus died and then rose, it means that it's finished. He is no longer dead. He is risen. He has conquered. He has won the victory. There is no condemnation. Well, because of the resurrection, Jesus is God and Jesus brings forgiveness. And because of this, it means that thirdly and lastly, he cannot be ignored. See, since Jesus is the God who created us, since he entered into our world, since he died to take the penalty for our sins, to bring us forgiveness, we can't afford to ignore him. As our first reading said in Acts, that he is the one that will judge the living and the dead. All of us will stand before him. We can't ignore the evidence of his resurrection. And so as we finish, I want to ask you one question. Jesus is alive. He is our Lord and Saviour. And are you a sceptic or a saint? At the end of the day, will you remain like the disciples back before they met Jesus? Or will you, like the disciples, come to have faith in him as God, as the one who brings forgiveness, as the one who can't be ignored? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you that you sent your Son into the world. We thank you that he came, that he took humanity on himself, and that living as a man, he died as a man. He died the penalty that we deserve for our rebellion against you. But we thank you that death could not hold him down, but that he rose again to new life, showing that he had defeated death, that he had broken the power of sin, and that he had won forgiveness for all time. We thank you that he is Lord, that he is seated with you in heaven, that he is reigning. And we pray that as we consider the resurrection, that we will not ignore our Lord. We will not ignore the evidence that we find in the Bible, that we will do the work it takes to see if we really should remain skeptics or whether we should follow him as his saints. Amen.